Okay, Psalm 91. Well, wait a minute. Let me just bring the circle back where we ended. Habakkuk 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Habakkuk 3. In verse 5, we saw that Yahweh's on the warpath, and he's preceded and followed by two demons. Reshef and Dever, or Dever and Reshef. Reshef is the burning coals, Dever is pestilence. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. So, the idea in our English translation of the Bible, where it would simply say pestilence and burning coals, we would have no concept that in the Hebrew mindset at the time of Christ, that those were demons.
I got a question that came last time you said this, and here it is again. Is there any way this could mean that as God walks, the demon runs from it, it flees from in front of him, and it flees from where his feet touch? Is there any way you can make that point? Is there any way to get away from these demons or from God?
No.
Because, I mean, I can just hear if I said to somebody,
Say Isaiah 45, and verse 7, and Amos 3:6. Don't worry about trying to justify the deeper points of doctrine.
Scripture.
Just don't read Saul.
What?
Don't read about Saul.
Yeah. But the point of it is that in the Hebrew mind at the time of Christ, now remember, at the time of Christ, and we're going to study this a little bit the next time we meet, is that it is the intertestamental period had been polluted by the Persian influence of duality. But still, in the mindset of the Jewish leadership, these two words, burning coals and pestilence, were proper nouns, and they were the name of demons. And I'm leading up to something here so that you can...
Babylonians or whatever it was, did they call them gods? This Reshet and...
No, these are Hebrew. This is the other, you were talking about, Dagon is what I was talking about last week when I talked about...
Mavet. But I thought these words were from this other people's language.
No, not these. That was...
Okay.
Okay, now go to Psalm 91.
So, the inference is they're part of an entourage or something?
But they can do nothing. They can do nothing to harm you, to the seed. I mean, that's the thing that you have to understand. I mean, you've got to get rid of the idea of good and evil.
It's all there to reveal the seed somehow.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's been such a battle for us, because in this society your thought process, your language has been structured to define for you good and evil. It's like you've eaten your full of the tree of the fruit of knowledge. I mean, the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Because everything, your mindset, it's almost impossible to think in terms of God only. I mean, that's why scriptures like, to the pure in heart, all things are pure, are meaningless to the American culture. They're meaningless to you. Because every time that something happens to you that's a negative influence, you say, oh shit, oh poor me, oh this, oh that, and you think suffering's strange because it's bad, and therefore God only does good stuff, and therefore you're locked into this cycle of prison. And the only way to cause you to be out of that is to hear the word of the Lord, that the worst case issue that you can imagine, these two terrible demons are walking. They're the companions of Yahweh. so that finally it can penetrate into that inner sanctum of your brain. You got to understand by now, if you didn't have an image of good and evil, to go into the closet would be impossible.
Yeah.
If you didn't have an image of the way things should be, then you would always be at rest. You would just accept, as the bird flies or the lily grows, life. This is the gut level of what Christ is talking about.
Yeah, if you told me that what that meant was as Yahweh walks, he's accompanied by a lion and a tiger, that would freak me out. But if I were an antelope...
Yeah. So all of this is to cause you to be, your mind to be renewed. That's the only reason for all of this stuff.
Burning coals.
Reshef. All right, Psalm 91.
Is this like Deaver, like Michael Deaver? Same spelling?
D-E-V-E-R. There's an A in Michael.
Oh, but Deaver.
Deber, I think, is the way you pronounce it in Hebrew. But anyway, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now what it says is, he that dwelleth only in the secret place of the Most High shall abide continually under the shadow of the Almighty. Remember what I've told you about the exclusivity of words in the Hebrew language, and it's implied, like, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. In order to translate it properly, it says that he that dwelleth in the dwelleth only in the secret place of the Most High.
It's not sometimes.
It's not sometimes, it's only.
Or he who sort of dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High.
Yeah. He who shows up one night a week in the secret place of the Most High.
Shall abide, and again, the word abide always has the component of continual. It's never leaving. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, and again, my only refuge, and my only fortress, my God, in him only will I trust. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And the word fowler, that's what I was looking at, is Yakosh. For the transliteration, it's Y-A-W-K-O-O-S-H, Yakush. And it means the trap, the snare. It's the same idea as the offense in the New Testament. There's one snare, there's one trap, there's one offense, there's one lie, there's one deception. And that one singular deception is that you are separate from the source of life, and therefore you need to take action to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And there's one trap that you've been entangled in. You need to take mental action to protect yourself from that one... from that one deception, that one trap, that you're separate from the source of life. So you take yourselves seriously. You began innocently, and you always have sincere reasons for giving credence to the fowler. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, period. I don't care whether we call them demons, or wives, or children, or brothers, or sisters, or Bible study members. If you are separate, if you are thinking in terms of separation, you might as well be in the hands of Beelzebub himself. If you are thinking in terms of taking action to protect yourself, or taking action to guard you or yours, to save your life in any dimension, you might as well be in the hands of Satan himself. And you can't, if that's why Christ, the requirement is so great. Take no thought for your life. Consider the lily, consider the birds. They spin not, they sow not, consider, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Be careful for nothing. Because, I mean, you've been lucky up to now. You go on, you try to find the trap. You try to find the snare so that you can have an excuse for sincerity. Oh, I feel this. Oh, I think this. And you do it so fucking religiously.
What was that?
Barbara knows.
It's for those of us who've been taking ourselves seriously.
If you don't do it concerned for, I mean, then you get in the one concerned for others. Don't you understand by now that we have nothing to do with this world? That you hate the garment spotted by the flesh? You cannot pull anybody out of the fire if their hands are down and if they love the fire? You can't do anything by sincerity. You can't do anything by prayer. You can't do anything except elevate yourself in your own mind by thinking and making believe you are important to something. Am I communicating? It's all the snare of the fowler. Those offenses must come. That trap must be there. But if it be, I guarantee you something, it would be better tonight if Barry had not been born for his sake. Touch not mine anointed, nor do my holy prophets no harm. Mm-hmm. And that's the confidence that you walk through life in. Periodically you reach down and grab someone out of the fire. But if you, by God in heaven, ever take the act of you lifting your hand down and pulling them out seriously, you're headed straight to Babylon. You're walking through life. You're walking on the way. Everything else is on fire. Every once in a while you'll find someone and they're holding their hand up.
Do you think you can pull him out?
But if they're not holding their hand up, forget
stuff.
Him.
Yeah.
There's nothing
to... Now believe it or not, in the spirit, what we are doing with the Dallas Project, and what his primary responsibility is to say to the Jews, here's an opportunity. And if we are rejected, then the dust is kicked off of our feet. Mm-hmm. Period. And every one of you shall speak those words as though it were one with authority, not as the scribes, not as the Pharisees. The only way you can speak the word with authority is to not give a holy flip what the response to it is. Not get all excited if somebody hears you, or give a shit if anybody doesn't hear you. Now this is wild stuff. This is totally different than your mind works. Because your mind is convinced that you're going to do something right or wrong. Because the snare of the fowler is always there. Am I communicating with every one of you? Do you understand?
I don't think so.
That's the snare of the fowler, too, where you judge other responses.
And from the noisome pestilence, in a very real sense, is your mind.
Yeah, but everybody agree on that.
It's the bees in John's Targum of the Hallel. A swarm of bees within my brain. The noisome pestilence. Don't you understand your heritage by now? Aren't you starting to get a hint of how you walk through this world? Speaking as one with authority, not negotiating with yourself and your mind. God, that gets disgusting. Not trying to get it right ever again. Joyfully abandoning yourself to whatever stimulus is there at that moment. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, don't you get caught in that snare of the fowler. Don't you pay any attention to the noisome pestilence. Now, the snare of the fowler is the biggie. It's you might as well say it's Satan himself, this Yakush. The noisome pestilence is his activity in your mind. Now we're going to talk about his emissaries.
Thanks about the film footage I've seen of the caribou that get chased by the mosquitoes in the tundra. And they just run until they explode.
Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Now that's the only, that's the feathers of the wings of the mercy seat. That's the only place the feathers are. Under his wings shalt thou trust. The wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. The place where every word, every thought that is spoken as the oracle of God, is thought as the oracle of God. Period. Second guessing is impossible. If you hit a wall, you speak it and then go on. Who gives a shit? Don't you see you don't have to take yourself seriously ever again?
Yeah.
And I guarantee you one thing. When you can no longer take yourself seriously after confronting me, you will never take yourself seriously again. That's my role. I probably don't do it very well, but nevertheless, that's my role.
Quit fishing for comments, for compliments, only.
Well, what is that word, noisome pest family?
When you become a comical figure,
when you can laugh at your shame.
That's a transliteration of
Norwegian. Norwegian.
Norwegian pestilence.
I like it.
It's your Norway rat.
It's your Norway rat.
I got your Norway rat. She got your brown rat. She got your black rat. Rook rat. It's
a Norwegian rat. They fight in between the walls.
The Norway rat. And you got your Norway rat. Thousands of them.
He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And in the Greek, it's a continuum. It can never leave. It can never be anything else.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. The word terror is a proper noun, a name. Its name is Pahad. P-A-H-A-D.
Pahad. Pahad. The thing that they actually have that's called a night terror, that people, like in the first 2 hours of sleep, they have this thing, you know, it's like some horrible image that comes to them or something.
Pahad.
It's a kind of disease.
The night terror. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. The arrow is Hez, H-E-Z. He's a demon. His manifestation is sudden pain, or instant disease or illness.
And what about Pahad?
Terror is his manifestation. Fear is his manifestation. Unrealized fear, unsubstantiated fear. Get thee behind me, Pahad. Or come on, let me introduce me to your friend, Pahad.
Is that wise? I mean, you know, you do
wise.
Depends on whether or not you can live through it.
Why not?
As long as you're under the shadow of the Almighty, on the mercy seat, nothing can touch you.
Pez. Is there a demon called Pez?
There's one called Rutledge. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh at noonday. That walketh in darkness, excuse me. That's Dever. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, is Ketev, K-E-T-E-V. So we got Yakush, Pahad, Hez, Dever, and Ketev.
Ketev is another one.
Is another one. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 demons. And the promise of God is, and by the way, the idea is that it's these, it's, again, you remember I told you that in the Hebrew mindset about demons, there's not one, it's a legion, all right?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah. In other words,
Pahad is a legion, Ketev is a legion, Hez is a legion, Dever is a legion.
It's the head of a legion?
Yakush is a legion.
That's not true of Manga.
No, Mabit is singular, apparently.
That makes terrors by night.
Okay, now, so you got all of that picture in your mind.
You wouldn't think that just to look at it.
1,000 shall fall at thy side. 10,000 at thy right hand, it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked one.
Why does it say only with your eyes?
It means like, it's not only, it means like, how can I say?
That is hard. Instead, or something. Instead of, even though.
Especially.
Well, it's.
Oh, wait a minute. It's like.
It's related to verse 7.
Yeah.
Contrasted to verse 7 or something.
It means like. No, with all this you shall see.
Even so.
Even so. Yeah, that's better.
Even so.
Even so with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the evil one. Okay? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy only habitation. You can't make him your habitation. That's why the subtlety, the instant you take responsibility for you or your or someone else in your mind, you no longer have, you've left the mercy seat. He is no longer your habitation. Do you understand that? That's why your sincerity, all that sincerity is in your mind is, I mean, to God is that you've left the mercy seat. Righteous concern, you've left the mercy seat.
This is just like what we talked about in Joel about, you know, the eating the flock or something. I mean, that's the opposite of this.
This is the only way, I promise you, you'll ever speak with authority. Otherwise, you'll be eating their flesh. And they will be sustaining you instead of the mercy seat as your only sustenance. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Remember the scripture in 1 John, as he is in this world, so are we. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot upon a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And those are direct references to the stars. And the fullness of that meaning, which we spent umpteen weeks on in bananas, of what that scripture means. Because he hath set his love upon thee, upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my Jesus. Yeah. Understand? Yeah. Show my salvation with, I will show him my Jesus. And as you see him, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. And every man that hath that hope in himself purifieth himself automatically, even as he is pure. Yeah. Now tell me what you're afraid of. Tell me your righteous concerns. We are not of this world. We are in it, but it's as well, Ketev, by the way, is also known in Greek and Roman demonology.
That's the destruction?
No, the burning heat.
What?
Well, it's destruction. It's the noonday heat. The heat of the destruction that comes from incredibly burning heat. It's that which causes wasteland.
He was the demon that was loose the other night.
That harkens back to the green tree by the side of the river, where the fruit doesn't wither.
Right. Do you understand how weird we are? Psalm 91 and Psalm 92 are read by the Hebrews more than any other psalm. Psalm 91 is the night psalm. Psalm 90 is part of the night process. Psalm 92 is the Sabbath psalm. It's read every Sabbath. Now let's read Psalm 92 just as the contrast. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord always. every moment, every second, every nanosecond. Not by liturgy, not in order to get out of something, but to give thanks for who he is in you and for all things that are coming into your world at this instant. Never again trying to solve the problem. Teach us to praise thee, O Lord. Would you read that, John?
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night.
Amen. And you show forth his loving kindness and his faithfulness. Yeah. You show it forth.
Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy
word. The harp with a solemn sound, by the way, just means the harp with a deep tone, and it's just as much the boom, boom, the bass.
The bass. The harp with a solemn sound.
It doesn't mean solemn. It means it was the harp with the deep tone. It's the instrument with the deep tone. And the one we didn't hear last time.
And thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. I have the funny Bible.
A
brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this.
Now what's the brutish man? The one that judges is a brute beast. The one who judges by his sensory perception that automatically calculates without God, or that calculates with God as an instrument of his sensory perception, thereby making God his puppet.
When the wicked spring like the grass.
It's not smart to try to make God your puppet. It's really dumb. You're going to meet one of these guys over here. That's why they're juxtaposed like this. These are not nice fellows, by the way, the ones we...
Not nice demons?
No.
Neither does the fool understand this. When the wicked spring like the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, and that's Ovin, but...
Ovin.
It is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a...
unicorn.
Yeah. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies. Mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
Now why the palm tree and the cedar in Lebanon? Because those are the two trees, those are two of the things that are in the temple.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen. I'm going to say, if there's no unrighteousness in him, and he is all and in all. I mean, that's the only thing we're about, is to renew your mind. Got it?
Yeah. It's like, you know, to renew our minds in spite of all the appearances in the test, you know, as you say, the path gets narrower and narrower. I mean, the appearances are going to look more and more opposite what we know the truth of.
Amen.
I remember we always talked about the palm tree as being worthless to the world when it flourishes. It's like, it can't be used. That was always
the idea that God not being separate, or these five demons walking with God, and not being him not being separate from them, them not being separate from him or from us, is because, you know, whenever the strange things are, you know, these feelings of fear and inadequacy come upon you, I mean, it's the thing that says that they're not of God, or that you're not of God, or, and it's a hard thing.
But it's that far away from Revelation.
Why are you making friends with it?
Anybody have anything else? We're going to study Azazel next time.
Should we dress up? We've heard about him before.
Azazel.
That's the one that the scapegoat.
No. Take a big gun.
Yeah.